All righty, let's turn to 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's take this from the top here, chapter 2, verse 1. Where it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer there. Now, Father, come to you here this morning, and we come here knowing what we are. And Father, we know what you've made us to be. Most of us here, I think that most folks here are saved, and maybe all. I pray that in that light, this would be a blessing, Lord. It's not intended to be a rebuke or a reproof. I pray that you might just help us to be able to keep our heads about ourselves, keep our bearings. And Father, I pray that you'll be with us as we plunge deeper into these last days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, it's the weekend, of course, of a national holiday. Everybody's fully aware of that. And I don't, as usual, feel obligated to preach a July 4th message or anything like that. But at the same time, there entered the thought that, Bible-believing Christians' faith and doctrine and heritage are never any longer, they're never not under fire anymore. And sometimes they're under fire by folks that you would think would be your friends. And so it's in that light that I say what I say this morning. There's a tremendous amount of cunning, of subtlety that the devil brings forth to bear against us, and that's all intended many times to misdirect or to simply reverse priorities. And so it's in that light that I preach what I'm going to preach here this morning. My text is down in chapter 2, verse 9. It's a very famous passage. You can quote it pretty much from memory, I'm sure. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There's four things there. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And Peter's address here, folks, is not to native-born ethnic Jews. His address here is not to the Romans of the Roman Empire of his day. His reference here is not to the Greeks. His reference here is not to people in the USA. His reference is to Christians. His reference is to born-again, redeemed Christians. Notice chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He's talking to born-again people. Nobody has a problem with that, right? And you see down in chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so in verse 9, you read that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's talking not about, again, ethnic-born Jews if they're not converted. It's not talking about any of the lost world or any of the lost nations if they're not converted. He is talking to me and you. And that's important to establish just for the fact of where we're going with this. You'll notice that, first of all, you're a chosen generation. He chose you. And everyone here is of the same generation. Now, you got to think about this spiritually. We're of Jesus Christ's generation. A generation is a mother and father have a baby, and then that baby grows up, and he and his wife, or she and her husband, they have a baby. Those are three generations represented. Okay? So, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, begat Paul through the gospel, right? Did you get begotten any different? No, it's the same begetting. I'm born again in the same generation as Paul was. I know that he lived before me. I know that he was the better part of 2,000 years ago, but we're all of the same generation. There's one generation of the body of Christ. Just one generation. We're all born and saved, born again and saved the same way. So that's point number one, just as far as introduction's concerned. We're a chosen generation. Notice, secondly, a royal priesthood. We know that there's a priesthood of believers, correct? We don't have a Levitical priesthood. There's not a tribe that ministers to us. We're a priesthood of believers. You're as much a priest before God spiritually as I or anybody else am. We're all called to minister to God spiritually, to make the sacrifices that are spiritual unto God, the sacrifices of praise continually. We're all a spiritual priesthood. Okay, we're a royal priesthood. There's a royalty to it. There's a royalty to it because we were born of the house of God. And so it's a royal priesthood. Us people, again, not the Romans, not the Iranians, not the Iraqis, not the Jews, but folks that are saved, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. We're peculiar because he made us a distinct and separate people. Distinct and separate from a lost Texan, even though I was born in Texas. Distinct and separate because he's made me part of his people. And not all Texans are his people. That's supposed to be kind of funny. We're a peculiar people. And when you become the people of God, there you have characteristics, or should, that are different than anybody else. They're peculiar. There's one thing that I skipped over there. Notice, because it's of special interest this morning, a special stress, you'll notice that we're a holy nation. We are a nation. We are a holy nation. And again, that's a particular stress this morning because, again, we're on the weekend of a national holiday, and much has been made about this national holiday through the years, and there is perhaps an increase in interest in it now for various reasons, but nothing I'm about to say is a repudiation of a reasonable patriotism. Okay, by that I mean that your country is not God. And there's nothing at all wrong with being glad and feeling blessed that you were born in America. Amen. Okay? There's nothing that I'm going to say that should reflect anything but gratitude for having been born here and having been reared here. I'm glad I wasn't born in Haiti. I'm glad I wasn't born in New Guinea, to be frank with you. I'm even glad I wasn't born in Brazil. That's a second world country. Sure, I don't want to be born in a third world country, but I don't even want to be born in a second world country because I'm a sissy. And so there's nothing that you should take from this today that is a repudiation of that gratitude. I don't want anybody to think we have people that served here in the military. Lord, folks, I mean, I read and I thoroughly still enjoy reading even now of it, you know, the soldiery on Omaha Beach and Utah Beach and the Bunker Hill and all the battles that you could go through from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Man, I appreciate what it took to buy the freedoms that we have. I appreciate a capitalistic system. I find capitalism in the Bible. I'm glad for a representative Republican government. All those things. I'm glad for these things, and I could keep going down the list here. But here it is, July the 4th. And perhaps, as never before in years past, when there's always an uprising of a resurgence of national, quote-unquote, pride. I'll address that phrasing a little bit later, around the 4th of July, and I can appreciate that. I mean, there's a resurgence now, particularly, I think, because we've been under such a, you know, under such attack for so long. And so now, you know, you kind of have an administration that seems more intent upon keeping law and keeping order and honoring a constitution. And so I have to say that in that respect, I'm glad. Now, there are some folks that aren't glad. There are some America haters. I'm not one of them. But I appreciate the spiritual blessings. I appreciate the material blessings. I am glad that we have a military that can take care of itself. And so when Lee Greenwood sings, you know, over the loudspeakers, "I'm proud to be an American, for at least I know I'm free," and in come the fighter pilots. The bosom swells and your heart just about bursts. Yeah! I get it. So nothing you hear today should reflect that I am repudiating any part of my citizenship or that there's any, you know, anything like that. But just to Christians this morning, let not a Bible-believing Christian sell his birthright, deny his heritage. And what I mean by that is we are constantly barraged by the cunning of the God of this world, small g God. He is cunning beyond belief. The Bible calls him subtle. I wish I could find it. The issue would be even more like devious. But certainly cunning, certainly subtle, and all those things. And I say all that to say, this is not our nation. It's right there in the Bible. He's not addressing Americans. He's not addressing the ethnic Jewish people. He's not addressing Romans. He's addressing people that have been born again by the Spirit of God. And those of us that have been born again by the Spirit of God, we are the holy nation. This here, America, Minnesota, America, is not the holy nation. And neither is Texas or Missouri or Montana or whatever your favorite is, your favorite flavor. I say all that to say that I take for the title of the message this morning, An Holy Nation. And I'd like to preach for that about that for a little while. Just intended to be a reminder that in the midst of Lee Greenwood singing and the red, white, and blue parachutists parachuting into the stadium and the warthogs flying over, I'm talking about airplanes here, people, you know, and the music playing and President Trump on the board, with all of that, this is not our nation. This is not our nation. You need to keep your head about you. Not saying you shouldn't be a patriot. Not saying you shouldn't obey the laws. You should pay your taxes, even if you don't agree with them. But this is not our nation. I want to say along that line, we're a holy nation. We're a people that don't belong here. There are some words that I'd like to use to describe and maybe draw a contrast to what I'm trying to say. First of all, in the passage, you find that he's addressing an holy nation. So the first word is holy. Somebody is in a holy nation. Well, in 40 AD when he wrote this, that wasn't Israel. It wasn't the Roman Empire. Was it? It wasn't Greece. It wasn't Persia. It wasn't the Iranians. And it wasn't America. The holy nation was a people that had been born again by the Spirit of God. They were a holy nation. This is the 250th quote-unquote celebration of our nation's history. And the United States has now been in many speeches for many years, of course, just thinking more recently. I know President Trump addressed things in Mount Rushmore the other day, right? And then yesterday there was supposed to be the monster fireworks display, the greatest the world has ever seen, a MAGA fireworks display or whatever. And I don't know if it went off. I'm assuming it did. I'm assuming it went well. I would have liked to have been there. I like it. The point is that undoubtedly the USA has been extolled more in the last 10 days by all kinds of pundits all over podcasts and radio and whatever other media you can find. And they've, you know, President Trump, Vice President Vance, any number of other, you know, influential people, famous business people, famous personalities. Once in a while, you even get somebody out of Hollyweird that says something good. I appreciate that. I'm glad for that. I'm glad it's all that way. They magnify her history, her founding, the pioneering spirit, the fact that the pilgrims were willing to get on a boat and risk dysentery and death just to get here, and they landed in a waste and howling wilderness. And most folks don't realize that the colonies were founded in, I mean, a wilderness beyond belief, and you might as well have been trying to get to New Guinea from here to walk out of one colony to the next. Your life was genuinely in danger. It was such a wild wilderness. And as time progressed, as you know, there are just things that happened, and there were good things that happened. We explored, we expanded westward and all those things. We have developed innovation in a way that most, you know, countries do not. We have a spiritual history in a way that most countries do not. We have a relationship, for that matter, just generally speaking, with the Bible that most countries do not. And so all those things are true and all those things are good. And when we start talking about money and Elon Musk and conveniences and technology and space travel and moonshots and just a little bit of everything else, it's remarkable in a way the country that you live in. I'll just tell you this. Nobody will. And by the way, nobody can stand up on a dais this weekend and make a case for America's holiness. Nobody will. President Trump will not. As far as defining it biblically, he will not be able to make a case of America's holiness. Nobody's going to do it. And nobody can. I can't get up and make a case for America being holy. For somebody to get up and try would ruin the party. People would have to put aside their dope and their booze that they have at the party. I mean, it would ruin everything to get up and start pronouncing how America is holy, and then you'd be lying and you'd spoil the party. My point, folks, is that have all our wars been holy? No. Are all our laws holy? No. Have all the judicial things that have come down the pike been holy? I'm not going to keep naming stuff because there are things that you have on your list that I don't have on mine. But certainly it's true that you can't make a case for America being holy. This, whatever God is addressing in this passage, is a holy nation. I'm sorry. It's not America. I'm glad I live here. I am. I don't want to give up my internet. I don't want to give up my cars. I don't want to give up my liberty. I don't want to give up my freedoms. I don't want to give up my comforts. And I want to go to Walmart. But it ain't holy. Is that right? Said anything wrong yet? There's a long list of vile things we could name. And again, if I start the list, then you're going to be mad because I didn't include the stuff on your list. But there is a vile, there is a list of vile things. I'm not repudiating my birth here, my residence here, my citizenship temporally here. I'm simply saying you can't make a case that this is the holy nation. And so when Larry Greenwood sings and the warthogs fly over and the fireworks go off, and you feel this welling in your bosom, just tamp it down. Because this is not your home. This is not your home. Because whatever's the case, this nation in the Bible, 1 Peter 2:9, is a holy nation. And that's not what this one is. Now, you're part of a holy nation. If you've been washed in the blood, then you're holy. Now, I know that every one of us have trouble with the practice of it all, but that'll be taken care of with a new body. Praise the Lord, right? But just it's just a reminder that before we get too entrenched, rooted, and deeply established here with everything invested here, you don't belong here. This is not the nation that's your nation. I'm a citizen here, but my citizenship really is in heaven spiritually. So this is just where I live. And I can't get awfully excited about the place I'm living when one day I know full well this place is going to burn. So first of all, again, none of this is a repudiation of all most of us have known and hold dear as American citizens. That's not to cast a pall on, you know, the fact that you went and bought a red, white, and blue lawn chair the other day. Go home and enjoy your red, white, and blue lawn chair. If you have red, white, and blue underwear on, that's fine with me. Wear it flat out. That's good. Just don't mistakenly keep your head. Don't mistakenly think that, yes, this is it. Oh, this ain't it at all. First of all, the first word was holy. Second word that comes to mind is in, let's go over, if we could, to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a sec. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice verse 15. And truly, it's talking about the hall of saints, faithful saints. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Okay, now, folks, we know what that is, right? Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice this time down in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly, and the church of the... There you are! Church of the firstborn. And where are you? You're in heavenly Jerusalem. So the second word that I think about that helps to draw this distinction, that helps somebody out that might have gotten a little off balance and a little carried away with American exceptionalism and patriotism to the point that it's kind of started squeaking by the Lord and getting to be number one. Maybe you get more upset by stuff going on in America than you get upset by stuff going on with the Lord. And what that indicates is that if you're more impassioned about America than you're impassioned about the Lord, that indicates something. Something has been flipped. They're called priorities. And suddenly God may not be number one God anymore. So this is to help us, right? So the first word we examined was holy. And while the word is not in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the second word that we need to examine is heavenly. Now, it is inarguable to say that America is a heavenly country. You can't even argue it. This is not hell, thankfully. If you were in, say, Haiti, you might be closer to hell. But this is not a hellish country, but it's not a heavenly either. I don't care what the Texans say. I don't care who it is from Alabama or Mississippi or whoever thinks that they live in God's country. This is not it. No, brethren, this holy nation is holy, first of all, and secondly, it's heavenly. And it should settle the argument for a Bible-believing Christian. You know, America is just one, it's in Isaiah 40, but it's just one of the nations that is a drop of the bucket. He said, the nations are all to me as the drop of a bucket. Now, I've always kind of read that as a drop in the bucket, so it's not very important. You know, one drop in a gallon bucket's not a big deal. But I was just looking at the wording, I'm thinking, it might not be a drop in the bucket, it just might be the drop of a bucket. Do you know how important it is that a bucket clunk, 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 drops? How world-changing is that? Just a milk bucket, the kid drops it on the ground, it rattles off, and clunk, 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 clunk. Boy, that's an important issue, isn't it? It's so important that the Lord says, all the nations of the earth are a drop of the bucket for me. Amen? Well, that's including America. You know, when I stop and think about that, you know, I think about her history with the Bible. She has that. We've never exactly been a Christian country, but there is a history with the Bible. There is a Bible, there's an infusion of Bible at least partially acknowledged by a lot of folks in history, and that's all great. That's all good. We have a history with the Jews. I think that one of the reasons the Lord's been really good to America is because there was a whole bunch of Jews that came here and that we were a harbor for them. And so for that, I'm very grateful and all those kind of things. But morally and spiritually, you have to admit she is in decline in your lifetime. You've seen it happen in your lifetime. If you're 15 years old, you've seen it happen. All right? This is not a heavenly country. The United States of America may not be all that far in the future the communist states of America. There's nothing that guarantees that America is always going to be the United States of America. If certain people had their way right now, in fact, quite a lot of them, it would probably be the communist state of America. All that is to say, this is not our heavenly home. This is not our heavenly nation. You are a holy nation. You are now. And as a holy nation, you're also the Lord's heavenly nation. We saw the passage. Let me take you back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. All this is to say, simply, look, don't lose your head when your bosom's about to burst because you're going through a museum and all of these Medal of Honor winners and all those things and their sacrifice. Man, their sacrifice will bring tears, you know, when I read their stories. I love reading that kind of history. But it doesn't mean the country is heaven. So you should just be very aware that on a national holiday, you still don't belong here. This is not your home. It's a matter of priorities. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, okay? Chosen. By God, chosen. Royal. There's a There's a kingly element to it. So we shall be one day what? Kings and priests unto God. Is that right? A holy nation. Peculiar people. Different from all others. Different from other peoples. Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And if you've been properly discipled and you've taken to it, you think differently than the average person in the world. Right? And those are given high honors by God. Let's look at his descriptives. He said, this nation I'm talking about is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I mean, God gives it that honor. Chosen, royal, holy, peculiar. He thinks a lot of it. He thinks a lot of it. Now, again, I'm proud to be an American. I've tried to expunge my vocabulary of that. I grew up down south, and it's extremely common. Well, how'd your son play in the ball game the other night? Oh, I'm so proud of him. I mean, I just couldn't be prouder of little Johnny boy. Man, he smashed that T-ball all the way past second base. I am proud of him. And pride, pride, pride. You hear it with Southern preachers sometimes. And I'm not, you know, don't throw them out. I'm just saying. I've tried to expunge my vocabulary of it because pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, right? I mean, there's a pride issue when it comes to the Lord. And so Americans all the time, the speeches by the scores, proud to be an American. Proud, 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 right? What do they mean? Well, they mean that they're honored, that they rejoice to be in America. They're pledging effective, they're pledging allegiance because, you know, it's important. And I understand it's a loyalty factor. So when I think about a holy nation, it's not just a holy nation, it's a heavenly nation. It's an honorable nation. We're a part of an honorable nation. God honored it. He says it's holy, it's royal, it's chosen, it's peculiar. God honored it. God, quote unquote, bragged on it. Right? Well, you're part of that. Is that the USA? That's a little bit of a problem, isn't it? America's glories will be much magnified, have been much magnified, I guess, over this week. I mean, the vets of Omaha Beach and Utah Beach, and that was a big deal. And those are all just old, you know, mostly doddering guys now, those that are left. But boy, at 18 and 20 years old, man alive, right? Have you ever thought about what it would be to have stormed that beach? I mean, have you ever thought about what it would be to stand in line in the Revolutionary War and static lines standing straight up in a field and shooting curveball musket balls at each other, and the guys on all sides of you are getting hit and you're still standing there like a moron straight up in the field? That's how they fought battles. What courage must that take, right? They're not throwing snowballs, man. They're slinging 60 caliber musket balls. What courage, what bravery that must have taken. What an honorable thing to be given a Medal of Honor. That sort of thing. But in talking about America and those honors, and as much as America has been honored this week, could I just remind the Christian, before you burst with American pride, could I remind you that probably well over 90% of the people in America are lost? You may dispute my numbers. I have dealt with Americans for over 40 years in public arenas on the street. And I don't find that there's more than 1 in 10 that are saved, right? By the response of many crowds, I put the percentages as much higher being lost. You understand? So before we give too much honor, we need to reflect on the fact, you know, before you just swell with pride as an American. John Wayne. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. You start walking like this, you know. Start walking around like John Wayne. Before you do that, think about the fact that probably 90% of your fellow Americans plus are lost. You know what most of them think like? Most of them think like the devil. That's why we wind up in the social / judicial / legal positions we wind up in these days, with things going completely off the wall, off the charts, crazy. Do you know why, right? Because most people think like that. You say, well, what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, don't get carried away with your patriotism down here. Enjoy God's blessings. Vote. Sit in your red, white, and blue lawn chair. By all means. Amen? Go to a fireworks display. They're fun. They're spending the money anyway, whether you're there or not. So go! But as far as setting your heart here, as far as on a day in and day out basis with the news, don't set your heart on that. Because it's not critical. It's not critical that we somehow make this better in America. It's not critical. Because even if we do, it's going to go back downhill and it's still going to burn. And this is not your home anyway. So just make sure you know who the holy nation is. Because she's also heavenly. And she's also honorable. God honors her. God honors her with good names. Right? Holy. Royal. Peculiar. Look, if you will, in Psalms 16 for a second. And again, I know that's a long way from 1 Peter, but Psalms 16. And I was thinking about these things as I was contemplating a national holiday. And we're a holy nation, so if we're a holy nation, then that's not America. Well, America is also not a heavenly nation. And while there are virtues you can find in America as far as being honorable in God's sight, honorable, it's not, right? Then I was thinking about that, and then I read Psalms chapter 16. And if you'll go down to verse 6, let's start with verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Heritage. We have a heritage in America. You could call it culture, I suppose. But as I said earlier, there's a natural pride of place that people have. And everybody knows that Texans are a little bit wonky because they think that no matter where they live in Texas, it could be green, it can be completely barren with nothing but tumbleweeds, and they think it's God's country. Believe me, I know I'm from there. People have a pride of place. Americans have a pride of place. But so do Russians. Russians sing songs to Mother Russia. And by the way, so do the Poles, and so do the Iranians, and so do the Grecians, the Greeks. Everybody basically has pride of place, and I get it, because everybody thinks, because it's what they're used to, our culture is better than theirs. Well, I don't want to trade cultures. I've been to Malawi. I don't want that culture. I want my culture. And most Italians feel the same way about Italy. And, you know, most Greeks feel the same way about Greeks. And so I'm glad for that. That's all perfectly fine. You ever stop and think about that? Here is Lee Greenwood singing, "I'm proud to be an American, for at least I know I'm free," and all those things. Before you go there, just you need to stop and consider what your heritage is, because it's kind of funny, isn't it, that I'm sure the Moabites had a heritage. And yet when Ruth left, she said, "Naomi, a Judean, where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." That woman changed cultures. And you ought to think about that, because we're bad about thinking that Christian culture is American culture. And look, I'm still going to eat tacos. Okay? It's hard to beat the right kind of burger. It really is. But that's American culture. And you need to stop and consider that God's culture is not like our culture at all. You know, we just read that passage in Psalm 16. I have a goodly heritage. He says that the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I'm talking about lines of a book written. Those lines have fallen to me. I have a goodly heritage. The heritage that we have is from God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 111, "Thy testimonies, the Bible, the scriptures, have I taken as an heritage forever." So here we set all Bible believers, right? All Bible believers here. And we would say, "Oh yeah, King James Bible's my heritage." As we said in Sunday school, Lord, have a chance to bless you this morning because you read it. You know, it's kind of one of those deals. But we're not even supposed to look and act like Americans in many ways, because we're God's children. Do we listen to all their music? Do we applaud for all their little awards they give to songwriters and rappers and apostate athletes and everything else? I mean, we talk about heritage, but our heritage is in heaven. We're a holy nation. God made us into something. We're all here, a part of a nation that God made something special out of. And it's not America. I'm only saying these things not to repudiate my citizenship here. As far as temporally is concerned, I'm saying it because sometimes we don't think like Christians, because you get so rutted in with how we do things here. Right? I'll bring another word to mind. I've used holy, heavenly, honorable, a heritage. Think about hostility. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, you would probably have to be pretty blind, at least not very savvy, if you didn't realize that America has, there's been a grand and large, multifaceted attempt to hijack America. You know, starting in after World War II, we immediately went from World War II, from the nuclear threat, and of course the nuclear threat lived on, but became a communist threat, where the communists were going to try to hijack us. Now, looking at what some states are doing now, there may have been more success than we knew. You know? But as you go down a list of things, just, you know, the hostilities involved. There came a day when the environmental wackos took charge. We've been held at bay now by LGBTQ SUV PTO SIVs. Number sign, asterisk, exclamation point. And man, folks, what in the world's going on? Well, there's an attempted hostile takeover. And, we get mad about it, man. COVID drove me nuts. Why can't our governor just shut his mouth and butt out? Right? Made me so mad. Fauci. And get so stinking mad about that stuff. Yeah. But how mad about the depletion of the faith of churches that no longer even know what sound doctrine is? I mean, churches, huge churches, huge churches, mega churches that don't even have a Bible. They don't even carry Bibles. They have a bouncy ball. And what the bouncy ball, the words the bouncy ball bounces on, they don't really believe anyway. Because those words could mean something else. He gets so mad at Fauci and so mad at this development and so mad at those stinking Democrats. Right? And yet, you wonder where all the passion is for, you know, folks trying to destroy the Bible, trying to destroy faith. Now, you think there's not a movement against godly biblical worship? At every turn, everybody's yielding ground on that, not by the inches, but by the feet, by the yard. And so my point, folks, is that, you know, I've used the word hostility. Well, America is certainly, there's been an attempt to hijack her, but, and by the way, they're going to succeed. They're going to succeed. I don't know about this year or the next 10, but eventually America is going to be in right in with the rest of the nations against Israel and everything else. And you have to be a little alarmed if you're ultra-American about the successes they've had. Don't we hear every time there is an election, this is the most important election of your lifetime? They recognize the threat. They just don't know what to do about it. Right? Well, I know this. They can't destroy the Word of God. And so since they can't, I ought to at least do my part to be a steward of it, you know. And so there's the word hostility. And I just end by saying I've used the word holy, heavenly, honorable, a heritage. Hostility. And I'll just end by using the word home. For most Americans, it's pretty simple. If they were born in Mississippi, they ain't happy in Oregon because Mississippi's home. Right? If you've ever been, a lot of you have been out of the country, and if you were in Malawi, it sure was good to get home. All I wanted was a salad bar. I mean, I was tired of goat meat and what was that? Sema. Ready for a salad bar. And nothing quite is like home, right? And so a lot of it is just that. And, you know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that verse means that this is not home. The nation you live in America, is not holy. It is not heavenly. While you can find virtue, to use in broad terms, honorable, is just not true. There is a nasty underbelly. There are some nasty alleyways behind the facades. Right? You could use the word heritage. And American heritage is not God's heritage. And so that's why the Lord came to save us from this present evil world. Is it important to say that America too is the world? Because if I say that, there are people in some places that get mad. And they're Christians. Because I'm being non-patriotic. I'm glad this is not home. I'm glad there won't be the intrigues in the kingdom of God, politically and socially and on media, the way they are here now. There's not going to be much political argumentation that's going to last there. Amen? So, I just say, the last thing I'll say is just about home. The hour's late. This is not home. You should be not be angry with me. You should take this as a good sign that you should maybe cut some strings. You know, there are things that bind you here, and you've set too much passion, too much zeal, too much concern, laid awake too often over debate, over some things here that simply don't deserve the attention, because when it's all said and done, boom, boom, come up hither, we're out of here, and all this is left behind, including your clothes. You won't even get to wear your labeled clothes. I don't even know what the labels are anymore. But you're going to get out of here, right? So this is not home. Cut the strings and don't lose your bearings. When, you know, as soon as this is over in November, the midterms, then they're going to start right in. We're going to start getting hammered on the next president. And I just wonder what kind of freak they're going to put up this time. Right? And so you're just going to get hammered again. And if you're not careful, you get engaged with it. And then you feel like you should be somewhat involved with it. And like I said, go vote. Wear your red, white, and blue underclothing. No problem. Just know this is not home. We are a holy nation. He was addressing you, but not them. The holy nation he addressed was not them. It wasn't Greece. It wasn't Rome. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't them. It was me and you and our brothers and sisters in Christ. You are the holy nation. So just don't get too worked up about what's going on here. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,